You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 9th of March 2022. Later, the impact of the US and UK oil sanctions on Russia, on the share market and the economy. But first, consumer sentiment has taken a hit, and that's amid the floods on the eastern seaboard of Australia and the increasing tensions in Ukraine. The Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index down 4.2% in March. To a low not seen since September 2020. Now, it's at a reading below 100, which means pessimists outnumber optimists. What does that say about the economy and for the future of interest rates? Sarah Conti spoke earlier with Bill Evans, the chief economist at Westpac.
Sarah, look, there's a lot of factors that have driven this disappointing result. I expected it to be weaker, but I wasn't expecting a 4.3% fall. So, of course, the floods have been a factor, and we saw confidence in Brisbane fall 11.3% last week. Inflation has become a big issue for consumers now, and a question we ask about how do you feel about inflation at the moment. We saw around 80% of people feeling negatively about that. The interest rate outlook is deteriorating. We've seen the weakest outlook for interest rates in terms of the proportion of people expecting rate hikes since 2010. And of course, the overall concern about the hostilities in Europe.
What does that say for the outlook for the economy?
Absolutely. Look, we're expecting 5.5% growth in the economy this year to be driven by 8% growth in consumer spending. What we have to bear in mind is the household savings rate is still 13.6%, and I think that's going to come down to 6% over the year. That's going to provide a lot of spending capacity over that period. I still believe there's a lot of pent-up demand, particularly in consumption of services, and we can't underestimate the fact that the household sector has accumulated, we estimate, $270 billion in excess savings. That's very unusual. It's unheard of for a recovery phase, and that's also going to provide a strong boost. So while sentiment at the moment is soft, a number of those factors are such as the floods, and that won't be permanent. And my view is that the consumer is going to still remain the real boost for the economy this year.
We've seen further sanctions on Russian oil. What does this mean for the Australian economy?
Well, in terms of the actual impact on the oil price, the US and UK sanctions weren't that significant because the US is mainly self-sufficient in oil. Of their imports, Russia's only about 3%. The UK is going to phase in their downturn. The key factor was that the European countries, that are the major importers of oil, did not join in the sanctions. We do know that there have been a lot of informal sanctions that individual companies have put on Russia. So BP and Shell, for instance, have done that. So the market didn't react too much to that. Price up at about 1%. It's the oil price up 24% since the invasion, but of course it is at its highest level since 2008. So we can't ignore the fact that these are huge dislocations, but this particular sanction from the US wasn't a major issue from my perspective.
So what does this mean for all monetary policy then?
The Reserve Bank is going to remain patient for a while yet. They'll still be looking for the signal on wages. We've been of the view since early January that the first rate hike will come in August. They'll start to adopt a less patient attitude in June, July, once they see a very large CPI that'll be released in late April. And I think that'll set the scene for an interest rate hike in August. The issue for central banks is the fear that inflation starts to feed into inflationary expectations, which runs the risk of a wage price spiral. That's the thing they have to be most concerned about, and that's the thing that'll mean that a situation such as the Fed, even though the outlook for global growth has deteriorated, the Fed will continue on that path because it has to contain those inflationary expectations. The Reserve Bank will be in the same camp, but of course our expectations are nowhere near as high as they are in the US. So interest rates are going up. The Reserve Bank will be changing its attitude over the next few months and a big inflation report on the 27th of April will be a key factor there.
Bill Evans there, the Chief Economist at Westpac, speaking with Sarah Conti. Now to the Australian share market, which rose. The S&P ASX 200 up by 1%, 7,053. The tech sector leading the gains. For more, I spoke earlier with Niv Dagan from Peak Asset Management. Niv, what's driving the market higher today?
Ricardo, we're seeing a little bit of bad news is good news. We feel that a lot of this is largely factored in with the whole Russian-Ukraine tensions, and some of the macroeconomic data that came through overnight were much better than expected. So we're seeing a little bit of green on our screens for first time in a long time.
Even though it's as expected, can we talk about these macro influences on the share market at the moment, namely Ukraine, those sanctions on Russian oil by the US and the UK? What are the implications for investors?
Oh, huge implications. It comes down to the bottom pockets and consumer prices increasing. So we knew that inflation's a really, really big issue. We knew that interest rates are rising this year. But what we didn't actually perceive is Russian sanctions, Ukraine issues, and potentially default on credit markets. So across the board, investors are nervous, but we are seeing a little bit of green today, which is a positive.
So what does it all mean for shares going forward?
Look, it comes down to what percentage is largely factored in. I think the investor market is will largely look at a higher oil price, nickel, commodity prices, wheat, across the board and supply disruptions as your average day norm. Investors will start to turn their attentions back on macroeconomic data. And we feel that the macroeconomy is still really strong. Interest rates are still low. Investors' money is still sitting. Superannuation money is still there in place. So we believe that actually investors would be looking to buying the dips rather than selling to this weakness.
That's interesting, though, because the market was really climbing toward the end of the year. And then there was this correction, right? And it was almost as if the market or investors were waiting for some sort of an excuse to pull the market down quite significantly. We're in that correction territory. Given now that we've had this the conflict in Ukraine as a potential excuse, because we already knew interest rates were going to rise, are we in for more weakness, or do you feel that the sell-off has been overdone?
There's a lot of unknowns, right? There's a lot of unknowns regarding Taiwan. There's a lot of unknowns regarding Russian bank defaulting. We're seeing multinational across the board, Ricardo, like Netflix, Unilever, Samsung, Microsoft and the likes, moving their positions from Russia. McDonald's closed 850 stores just in the last 24 hours. You'd expect that some of these larger multinational top 500 companies would also be feeling the pinch, whether it is on the credit market and what it is on the equity market. We believe a lot is largely factored in, but a lot is the unknown. So that's why we're seeing a lot of volatility coming through on equities.
Okay, so given all of that, where are the opportunities right now? What do you like?
It's all about commodities, Ricardo. Gold above 2,000. Oil, natural gas, coal, wheat, anything on the, we are in a commodity super cycle. So we are advising investors to buy essentially the dips. There's a big, big discrepancy between essentially the spot. For example, lithium prices are in multi-year highs relative to some of the lithium stocks have fallen by 20, 30%. So we feel that that gap will return and it's all about commodities. So we're very, very bullish commodities and oil and gas.
Niv Dagan there from Peak Asset Management.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.